From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network. Back for another hour on the Michigan Talk Network, all over Michigan, on the fine affiliates and all over the world on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast, listen to any show we've got going on. For like the past year and a half, I think all of our old episodes are up there. Podcast brought to you absolutely free. Want to thank our friends at Lucky Buck, Deer Mineral, for being on board with us again this year. Our newest sponsors, Darton Archery, also HHA Sports, the leader in single pin sights for archery, for your bows, man. I mean, they put out some fantastic stuff, as does Darton Archery. And we are looking forward to maybe getting into the new Rebel 135 SS crossbow, plus some of the other great vertical bows that they have. And we will be arming them with HHA sights for sure. Also, one of the new things on our website, right there on the front page, you can pick up the brand new Wild Michigan Sons of Archery t-shirts. I think our friends at the Job Shop in Lansing, you can pick them up there, or you can order them online, just $15. And they're good-looking shirts made right here in America and in Michigan. So all that stuff at wildmichiganradio.com. I'm going to speak with my good friend Al Stewart, the Upland Game Bird Specialist. And Al, has your welcome, sir. Has your title changed a million times since the last time we talked?
No, I'm still the Upland Game Bird guy.
Good. Well, and you do such a great job of it, Al. And you know, we have watched the wild turkey in Michigan, the population, the numbers escalate so well over the years that, you know, since its reintroduction, and all the work that you guys have done to make sure that this bird survives and recreates and procreates, it's just amazing to see in the wintertime where they stick out like sore thumbs, which is great. And I have to commend you on that, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Duran. It's always a pleasure talking with you, and it's certainly always a pleasure to talk about turkeys for me.
It is. And so what are we up to right now? Because we know February 1st is the deadline for applications for the spring turkey hunt. This is where, if you're applying for a certain area, maybe it's a limited amount of tags, you need to get it in by Sunday night.
Yeah, by February 1 is the deadline, and you don't have to wait till, you know, 11:30 that night to try to apply. You know, you can do it from now until that point, but you know, the sooner the better. And it doesn't up your chances. It just helps relieve any frustrations if your credit card number doesn't work or something like that. You're trying to get through the system. But, you know, the beauty of it is, you know, you can go to a license agent, or you can do it at home from the, you know, from the comfort of your own home 24/7 here, you know, and we take MasterCard and Visa. So, and it's been working real, system's been working real, real well. You know, I encourage you to apply. If you're looking for one of the limited type quota, you know, hunt period. So, you know, there's different quotas for different areas, you know, from as few as 10 licenses per hunt period to, mm-hmm. you know, unlimited generally. So, you know, we've worked with turkey hunters over the years and listened to what they had to say, and, you know, they've wanted variety. And the main thing that turkey hunters have wanted since the inception of, you know, turkey hunting here in Michigan really is, you know, to maximize opportunity so people can have a good chance at it, but really maintain high quality. And so that's the reason we have, you know, these license structure that we have, or the quota structure that we have right now. And it's been working, you know, really well. And, you know, when you talk about quality, you know, a quality experience for you might be different than a quality experience for me. So in the front end of this, turkey hunters helped to define what they thought quality was. So, you know, one of those was, you know, hunter success somewhere in there, lack of interference from other hunters, and then just hunter satisfaction was really a key point to it. So did you go out and have a good time? So we have you know, different levels of interest in what we have there. So we would like to see the majority of people, you know, happy with their hunting experience. We were hoping to have, and this is where it's really interesting, is turkeys have shifted from sort of a species of scarcity to an animal of abundance. But we were hoping to have, when we set out, a 10% hunter success. And that was really the benchmark across the country. Is where if you had 10% hunter success in the spring, you know, that was apple pie kind of stuff. Well, you know, now as hunters have become more experienced and, you know, the system is for hunting is a little bit different, we're up in that 30% hunter success. So when we judge quality, you know, on the average, we were hoping to have a 20% hunter success when we made that adjustment. And again, majority of the people satisfied with their experience. And then lack of interference from other hunters. So you didn't have a lot of interference from other hunters.
Right.
Bottom line is what people wanted for turkey hunting was, you know, they didn't want the opening day of gun deer season for turkey hunting. And people were very vocal about that side of it.
Well, no, and, you know, I agree. Know, so,
yeah.
But, you know, it's look, and this is nothing against anybody that hunts firearm deer. I am very fortunate to have taken up bow hunting about 8 years ago, and I absolutely love it. It has changed me as far as how I deer hunt. And you know, sometimes, though, I'm trying to squeeze out that last day of bow season on November 14th, and the guy in the adjacent property is sighting in, you know, because like this November 15th is this big surprise.
Yeah, and, you know, the other side of it, deer hunting and is so much different than turkey hunting in the respect of, you know, you can put a lot of people in the woods, you know, and have still have good deer hunting, you know, excellent deer hunting.
Sure.
But with turkeys, when you start putting a lot of people in the woods, you know, turkeys all of a sudden just disappear. They don't gobble, they don't, you know, respond and as well. And so that's what turkey hunters said. Our idea of quality turkey hunting is to be able to get up, you know, in the morning and hear a bird gobble, you know, and then have the ability to try to call that bird into us without other hunters kind of bouncing off my shoulder. And, you know, sometimes, you know, that works and sometimes it doesn't. You know, you could have a place where, you know, there are turkeys and there are only two licenses available and both people show up at the same spot. Turkeys are pretty courteous folks, and so usually, you know, somebody walks away and says, listen, I can find another turkey, you know. So, you know, it's so the program that we have for turkeys in Michigan is we provide something for everybody. So,
sure.
You know, if you just want to go to a spot where there are only 10 licenses for that whole season, you can apply for that spot, and, you know, you're applying against other people, and maybe you'll get it, maybe you don't, but you know when you got it, you've got a really high-quality hunt. Or you could just say, you know what, it really doesn't matter to me. I just want to make sure I have a license and, you know, be able to get out and go.
Absolutely.
But, you know, those are the differences that we have. It wasn't all that long ago that you had to apply for a license, you know, to be, you know, in a lottery drawing. And only a quarter of the people who applied were fortunate enough to get drawn in the lottery. And if you didn't draw, you could not hunt turkeys in Michigan. You know, so we've made, you know, great leaps and bounds from that point. That we have the guaranteed turkey license, you know, that's out there. That's, you know, most of the month of May, and it's guaranteed. And all you have to do is go in, you know, to the license agent and buy your license, you know, after March 16th, so or March 16th or thereafter, and just buy it. You don't have to apply.
Sure, and Al Stewart is our guest.
You've got a chance. You've got the opportunity to hunt pretty much the whole month of May. It runs from May 4th to May 31st. So, you know, great news, great opportunity.
Al Stewart is our guest. We're going to talk more with Al, find out what he's been up to, talk a little more turkey, maybe a little bit about woodcock. I know, something a lot of people don't hunt, but they're there, and they are a blast. We're going to talk more with Al Stewart. You're listening to Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network, brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, lucky-buck.com. Right on the front page of our website, wildmichiganradio.com.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. from Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host, all over the Great Lakes State. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com, that's where you can find a link to Darton Archery. And they've been celebrating 65 years in the archery business, and I'm sure they're going to be with us when we get to the Deer and Turkey Spectacular coming to the Summit in Lansing, February 13th through the 15th, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you there. But right now, our good friend Al Stewart is joining us. He is the Upland Game Bird Specialist for the Michigan DNR. Al, we talked a bit about turkey in the first segment of the show. You know, we have a late fall season, and for maybe somebody that's new to the world of turkeys, I just want to focus real quickly because it says a bearded turkey. Now, mind you, that is not held to toms only, to the male. Although that's the species we are supposed to be targeting, sometimes a female or a hen can produce a beard as well.
Yeah, about 1% of the birds that are harvested in the spring have a beard. You know, it's about the diameter of a pencil, maybe about the length of a, you know, pencil before it's sharpened. Some of them are. Some are a little shorter. They're kind of scraggly looking. You know, and obviously they don't have the bright red heads and, you know, the whites and real vivid blues that, you know, a tom turkey has. But, you know, they're out there and, you know, they have a beard. So, you know, they're legal in the spring as well.
Yeah, and that's pretty interesting. I've seen a couple of bearded turkeys, of course, never bearded hens, rather, never when I'm hunting.
Yeah, but, yeah. Well, and the call I get in the spring is, Al, you're not going to believe this. This is a Ripley's, believe it or not. I just shot this tom turkey that has, you know, some eggs inside it. Well, you know, actually, what you did was you shot a bearded hen, you know, and that's legal. You know, that's. It's the opposite way around.
Yeah. Sorry. It happens all the time.
So there's you know, there's a lot of people who see them in the spring and, sure, you know, pass on them. But there are people who, you know, maybe are new to turkey hunting, or some people do it because they would, you know, would like to shoot a bearded turkey. But the reality of it doesn't have an impact on the overall population. And it, there's like 10% of the all hens have a beard, and, you know, only, you know, 1% are harvested. So, you know, 100 birds, a couple hundred birds, not very much.
Yeah, not huge on the impact.
At all. No, not at all. So, you know, again, they're out there. You know, when you were your segment about veterans and, you know, active military people, I want to share with you that, you know, beginning on March 16th, if you're an active duty military personnel or a veteran with a, you know, with a disability, you can get a spring turkey hunting license for free.
Nice.
I think that's just really cool. And so you can pick up any of the leftover ones, anything that's out there, beginning on March 16th for free. You can apply and buy them before that if you choose to do that, but then you're going to pay for them. But
right.
The free ones are available starting March 16th.
Very nice.
You know, that's really a great deal. And then another opportunity for people, because, you know, we talk about retention and recruitment and re-engagement, all these magic words. You know, the bottom line is get people out to enjoy hunting like you and I do. And so we have the mentored youth license. You know, that's for 9 and younger, really. And that license is $7.50. And that's good for any unit, any place in Michigan, public or private, you know, as long as you have permission on private land. And so that's something out there that, you know, if you've got a grandkid or a kid or a neighbor, whatever, that falls into that category and you want to help mentor them, $7.50. Doesn't get any better than that.
No, absolutely not. Speaking with Al Stewart here on Wild Michigan, brought to you in part by Darton Archery, celebrating 65 years in the business of archery, bow manufacturing. And Al, real quickly, turkey is not limited to shotgun. You can go out with your bow or your crossbow as well.
That's right. You know, rifle is excluded, but you know, you can take a crossbow, you know, longbow, compound, and than with a regular shotgun. Most people use a shotgun. The beauty of spring turkey hunting is you know, going out in the morning and listen to those birds gobble, see the world come alive before your very eyes, and then have the ability to call that bird into say. And so that's the magic of it. And so you can do that with, you know, any of the weapons that we talked about.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Turkey has become, I'll be honest with you, my favorite type of hunting to do. And I wish I could do it more, but at least in Michigan in spring, that is my favorite time of all year round to get out and hunt. Now, you had the opportunity recently. I saw photos of you. You were out banding woodcock. What were you up to with that?
Well, yeah, you know, Michigan is really unique, and we're number one in the world for American woodcock harvest. And then we're one of the top production states. So although you may or may not hear much about woodcock, it's a big deal when people ask, you know, what does Michigan have to offer? And so part of what I was working on last week is there's a national-international study that is helping to monitor migrational patterns for woodcock, and then as that relates to habitat and how we can continue to, you know, stay at the top of the pack for woodcock and how we continue to, you know, make habitat for woodcock. So woodcock breed in Michigan. We're one of the top breeding states, and then they winter like snowbirds in Louisiana and Texas. And so I had the opportunity as part of this national study to go down and try to band some woodcock down there with cutting-edge technology, satellite telemeters or transmitters. And this is the first time that these smaller transmitters have been made and been able to be placed on a bird like a woodcock. So I'll tell you more as we learn more, but it's really great to, you know, be part of some cutting-edge work to learn more about wildlife and, you know, help do more here in Michigan.
Speaking with Al Stewart here on Wild Michigan. Al, I think it would be very interesting to see their flight patterns over a great distance if you have that ability to measure that, because, you know, like I said, we see them. I've seen them here while in a duck blind, have them fly in the duck blind and around us. It's really cool. They're so small and so erratic in flight, but I would be interested to see their migration pattern.
Yeah, and so up to this point, Michigan has been actually is one of the top places in the world for banding American woodcock chicks, more here than anywhere else. But the way you get information from that band is, you know, like duck hunting with bands, is that someone else recovers it somewhere else. So, you know, the one spot it was banded and then you know the other spot that it was harvested at or, you know, hit by a car or whatever.
Sure. Well, very cool. Al Stewart, Michigan DNR. Also, he is the Upland Game Bird Specialist for a long time. And I'm just going to throw this real quickly out, Al, and I'm going to put you on the spot. The only person to catch and release a world slam of turkeys.
Yeah, that was fun, too. And it's great to be able to learn so much about wildlife. And every time you think you know something, you find out, boy, there's so much more to learn.
Absolutely. Al Stewart, appreciate you joining us always here on the Michigan Talk Network. So much more coming your way. Got a whole bunch of stuff coming at you. So stick around. We got that happening with Al Stewart. Thank you so much. Appreciate you joining us, Al. Michigan DNR, michigan.gov/DNR. And you can find us at wildmichiganradio.com on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hey, this is Mark Zona from Zona's Awesome Fishing Show, and you're listening to my guy, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
I'm on a first-name basis at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host, all over the Great Lakes State on the Michigan Talk Network, wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you in part by HHA. Sports, the maker of the fine single pin optics for your the single pin sights for your bows, vertical bows, and also some great sights for your crossbows as well. New sponsor here on the show. Going to talk a little bit about Saginaw Bay ice fishing. Going to get in depth a little bit more than we normally do. We're going to talk with Joe Raymer. He's out at Frank's Great Outdoors in Linwood, Michigan. Morning, Joe. How are you?
Morning, Duran. How are you doing today?
Good, man. Good to have you on.
Thank you, sir. Thanks talking to you this morning.
You as well. Let's talk a little bit about Saginaw Bay. Kind of a tricky area if you're new to ice fishing, the area rather.
Yeah, it can be a little overwhelming. Nothing to mess with, for sure. We've had some recent incidents, people falling in, unfortunately. There are some open water spots out there right now, and we can go through some safety stuff, but if you're new to it, you definitely want to find somebody that will take you out, guide you, or be with more than one person, not by yourself, for sure. Nothing to play with.
Absolutely not, because that has a tendency, being such a big body of water, to shift. And we see guys floating away on St. Clair and on Saginaw Bay every year, especially when it comes to last ice. They want to get that last bite in. And it happens. Coast Guard comes out and rescues them if they can.
Yes, that's right. If they can, that's the whole thing. But there is a lot of things you can do. You definitely want to have a GPS. You want to have somebody with you, a cell phone. You want to have a throwable rope, a 100-foot throwable rope, something with with that floats that you can grab onto. The guy leading the pack should not be the one carrying the rope with the throwable, because if he goes in, it's gone. Say in a single-file line going in on the bay, mark any pressure crack or any skeptical thing that you know on your GPS and mark it and follow your trail back exactly that you came out on. And those things are definitely something that you want to follow. Make sure you have a cell phone and somebody behind you has a cell phone. The least amount of time in the water is the best. You got to get out of that water and get out of those clothes if you do, unfortunately, fall in.
Absolutely. We've talked about we talk about safety quite a bit here on the show, especially when it comes to ice fishing, because you never know. You never know when you're going to get some trapdoor ice or run into a situation. But we're talking about Saginaw Bay, speaking with Joe Raymer from Frank's Great Outdoors up in Linwood, Michigan. Joe, I've noticed from personal experience duck hunting out there, I mean, you can be way out and still only about waist deep in water. How are we going to look, or where should we start to look for decent places to fish? Because we know what a fishery that bay is.
Oh, it's just an unbelievable fishery. That's the thing. People are just so drawn to it because the fishery is just world class, and that's what they like to go out there for, and they'll put themselves in danger a lot of times for that, unfortunately. But right now the walleyes are in actually pretty close in certain spots. Anywhere from 6 to 10 foot of water is very good right now, producing very good. Actually, before any of the first cracks, you're in safe ice. As safe as it can be. 10 to 12 inches of ice, 6 to 9 to 10 foot of water. There's perch in there. There's walleye in there. People are getting pike. It's just a great time right now, good fishery in those waters. People are traveling 3 to 5 miles out of Linwood. Again, you're going to go to the north. There are some pockets of open water, believe it or not, to the south, towards the Saginaw River, that you want to stay away from at all costs. The shallow water bite's really good right now, actually.
Now, what are people using? Are vertical jigging, obviously, what we're doing, but is there a specific, I know this changes from day to day, and it's a lot of preference issues, but what are you seeing some of these fish being taken on right now?
Well, a lot of guys are using the JD's Custom Spoons. They're the glow spoons. They're a small quarter-ounce spoon. Here at Frank's, we have those. They're glow colors, Bloody Nose, Wonder Bread, and then we have some antifreeze bright colors during the day. The perch are biting like crazy, too, as well. Then you can go to your dew jiggers. You can go to your Rapalas, and your moonshines are really, really good. Definite good glow on those. So any dark water situation or any, early morning or late night type of thing, you want to look for the glow lures. It's a good thing to also, have an aggressive type of real fluttery type of a lure on one rod and maybe a less subtle presentation on the other rod. The walleye will take either one, obviously. So that's what I try to go with, something that's a little bit more aggressive, a little bit subtle on the other rod.
Now, somebody we just started working with here, we're speaking with Joe Raymer from Frank's Great Outdoors in Linwood. We just started picking up the Tricky Ricky lures here. And from what we've seen on some of the sites, that they're doing pretty well on the perch as well.
Absolutely, yeah. We carry the Tricky Ricky lures for sure. They're definitely they're different. They have a different action to them, and they do produce. We have a lot of guys in here that love them, and produce all the time out there. Yeah, on the perch. You're catching perch right along with the walleye right now in that 6 to 9 foot of water. Guy here works, got his limit of walleye yesterday and 15 beautiful perch out in 6 foot of water.
That sounds like good eating.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about falling in or nothing. You know what I mean? It's, that's the way to go right now.
Yeah, yep. And a lot of people, look, if you don't realize too, look, 6 to 9 feet of water, I don't know anybody that's 9 foot tall. So again, use extreme caution in these areas. You know, I read a report of WJRT TV about somebody recently that went in with a snowmobile. You know, it's just you can't preach safety enough, and you can't convince people that they're being safe enough a lot of times too. And we're speaking with Joe Raymer from Frank's Great Outdoors in Linwood. Joe, you've got an event coming up as well.
Yes, just real quickly on that, it is the Frozen Frenzy Tournament, Linwood Frozen Frenzy Tournament. Biggest thing is, based on 2,000 applicants, the top prize is $5,000. Pays down to 15 point spaces. It's a terrific tournament, but most importantly, the tournament is proceeding. The proceeds all go to the Bay City State Park Kids for Fishing Program, where we fund three-quarters of their annual budget to get all the 12th graders in the region through a fishing program, understanding the biology of the fishery and the Saginaw Bay. And it goes to Linwood Park, Bicentennial Park, for Kids for Baseball Diamonds. Every nickel of the proceeds after we're paying the tournament guys goes to those two beneficiaries. It's a great thing to support. The kids depend on us to get that done, and we're looking for 2,000 applicants. Anybody that wants to join can call Frank's Great Outdoors, 989-697-5341. The tournament deadline to stop is Saturday, the 31st, and we can take donations after that for Bay City State Park, but the tournament form ends on Saturday the 31st at 7 o'clock.
Okay, so after, because we air on Saturday and Sundays this weekend, so after Saturday, the entry level, the entry deadline is Saturday, but if you'd like to donate to the event, they can do so after the fact.
Yes, they could call in and donate $10, and all the proceeds will go to Bay City State Park and Linwood Bicentennial Park as well. Yes.
All right, appreciate it. Joe Raymer from Frank's Great Outdoors in Linwood. Well, you know, I don't want to push things too far ahead because we are just now getting out onto the ice. But come spring, man, going to be looking for the walleye again, and you've got to be excited about that.
It is unbelievable. It's like I call it the nursery out there. The amount of fish, we get so many customers from the west side in here, obviously the local people, but every morning the Grand Rapids, Lansing area, every Muskegon, and they're in here because we go over there to go salmon fishing, but, you know, them guys come over here to go walleye fishing. It is an incredible fishery. The perch is coming back. The walleye are just off the hook. I mean, in the spring, you can get them big girls on those rappel, husky jerks, slow trolling. It's just unbelievable. We can't say enough about the fishery in Saginaw Bay.
No, I've had the opportunity to fish Saginaw Bay numerous times and out of Linwood, and it's a lot of fun. Summer bite's a good bite as well, man. You can get out there, and we've seen the trend. We've been on such an upswing in the walleye and in the amount of fish, the great year classes we've had over the years. You don't want it to end, and it just seems to keep going.
Yeah, you just don't want it to end. It keeps going. The fish are actually getting a little bigger. The other day I was out Friday. We had some customers out there, and we got three fish over 26 inches, and most of the fish were between 21 and 23, and that's all in 6 to 9 foot of water. So the size of the fish, people are saying, yeah, well, there are no big fish out there, but those are just great eater fish.
Sure. Hey, Joe, appreciate you joining us, man. Hate to cut you off. It's Joe Raymer from Frank's Great Outdoors on the Michigan Talk Network.
I still believe.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. As I am sure Mr. Nugent is down at the SHOT Show, as many of our friends are, we're stuck here in Michigan, not Las Vegas. But it's okay because we've got ice on the lakes, we've got some fishing going on, and we're very happy, man. It's been a great year so far this year. Very happy to be working with Dart and Archery, a great Michigan company. Our friends at Lucky Buck out of Osseo, Michigan, another great Michigan company. Our friends over Wisconsin, HHA Sports, makers of the best single pin bow sight in the industry, bar none. Also, we like to feature Michigan companies once in a while, and we happen to find this one on the Facebook, which has been a great tool for locating guests and products and things of the like. And I come across this ice fishing forum type thing that was on there, and Rick Webster, who is part of Coda Pro Products, joins me right now. Tricky Ricky Lures is what he has. One of the products on there. We'll talk about the other one in a minute. But good morning, Rick. Welcome to Wild Michigan, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Not at all. This is quite the honor. We've never had you on the show before. So tell me a little bit about how Tricky Ricky Lures got started, because I'm looking at them. They look like a jigging spoon, but I'm sure you, being the person that produces them, will know better than I.
Right, absolutely. Well, it's something that, you know, my family, these lures that we produce are something that my family has fished with, you know, for generations. And just one day that we were thinking about, we were doing our ice bud, we produced the ice aggressor ice bud, and we had such a good demand with that, we figured, well, we're going to try our hand in ice fishing lures, and what better ones to produce is the ones you used to use when you were younger, you know, when you went fishing. And we're kind of bringing that retro area back, you know, area, and it seems to be working for us. We started those in 2009, it was.
Okay.
And as well as the ice aggressor was 2009. And it just ballooned from there, Duane. It's they're Russian beaded spoons is what we produce.
Okay.
80% of our stock is Russian, you know, beaded spoons. But on the other aspect of it, we do also do the walleye jigging spoons, too. But other than that, I mean, we got them in Alaska and Canada. We got them all over the countryside.
Excellent, excellent. Rick Webster is our guest here. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network. Describe the jig. I mean, you say old school, and it's funny how a lot of times we get away from what our parents used. Look, ice fishing. Look, we understand ice fishing has come a long way with soft plastics and the like, but sometimes that good old beaded jigging spoon will be a good hit too.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the Russian beaded spoons, you know, obviously it came from the old boys from Russia came over to immigrated into Michigan, and they brung that technology with them. And they're just, I don't know, I find them fascinating, because every time I go perch fishing, that's, you know, we throw that down there, and that's what we're catching perch with. They're basically geared towards perch, but in the recent past couple of years, people have been dabbling with them with panfish and walleyes and things like that, and been doing really good with them. So we have several different color patterns. Ours are all hand painted, of course, because there's no airbrushing. It's all done with hand brushes and old school way.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm looking at those. I'm looking at your Trick Cray Ultimate Perch Pro Pack here on your website for CodaProducts.com. And that is a lot of hand work going into those. And when you look at those, the overall shape, they do look like a crayfish, and, you know, a small one, and, you know, the crunchy little morsel that perch like.
Well, absolutely. You know, all perch and panfish, they all forage for small crayfish on the bottom of the lakes. And that's kind of our creation. Our friend up in Canada, Gord Pfizer, did an article about jumbo perch fishing, and he was explaining how they were foraging for little baby crayfish. So one day we got the idea, you know, we're just going to try to build a lure that resembles a crayfish, and we call them our Trick Crays. and they've been doing rather well, actually. I mean, it mimics a crayfish swimming. You know how a crayfish, when it goes down into the water,
sure,
it kind of does that loop thing when it goes down in, and fish just love those. But that's kind of a different. It's not really a Russian beaded spoon. That's a different lure altogether. There,
it is. And to be honest with you, that is like nothing I've ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, you've got those two. Now, are those blades connected, or are they loose hanging? So when it drops down, they're kind of fluttering a little bit, like a crayfish would.
No, those are actually soldered. All our lures are soldered together. You know, hand soldered, and incidentally, we use all Mustad hooks, too. We don't use anything but Mustad. We stick with quality. And but yeah, those little fins that mimic the pinchers, those are soldered right to the body itself.
Wow! So yeah. that's got to create a pretty unique fluttering motion when that hits the water.
Absolutely, it does. It does. It really does mimic a crayfish.
Nice. Speaking with yeah. Rick Webster from Tricky Ricky Lures, Coda Products. I'm sorry, CodaProProducts.com yeah. is the website. Duran Martinez, your host here on the Michigan Talk Network. We'll pop up a link on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. Now, your bead danglers, those are the ones. It's a spoon, but you got a bit of a bead and a little blade on there, and probably causing some flash and maybe a little sound as well.
Yeah, those are called our bead danglers. And it's basically a Russian beaded spoon, but we threw a Colorado blade on the end of it to create more flash. And Lake Simcoe in Canada is having really good results with these.
Yeah, you know, that's a very popular lake for a lot of Michigan guys heading up north. And
That's a nice lake.
Now, do you ever jig these in open water, too, that's not hard water, maybe some tighter weed areas?
Well, yeah, you know, everybody, if you're fortunate enough to have a boat, you know, people will jig these off the side of their boat, you know, Saginaw Bay area, wherever you're fishing for perch. And it's, you know, no different than ice fishing. Once you locate that school of perch, if you're fortunate enough to have the fish finder.
Right. See, you are hitting me where I live. You know, if you're fortunate enough to have a boat, which I don't. But I do have a very nice portable fish finder that I could use year round. So you know, mm-hmm. I think I told you, it's just, look, if I have to pay for it all year, I want to have to be able to use it all year. That's probably why I don't have a motorcycle or a boat or a snowmobile.
Right.
Rick Webster, Coda Pro Products, is our guest here. We are being brought to you in part by HHA Sports, single pin archery technology, tops in the industry. Now, this all got started. You know, we talked a little bit about the Tricky Ricky lures, but your family has been producing an ice spud for a while now. How'd that all get started?
Well, that got started. It all links back to my grandfather, actually. When I was a young boy, I'd go ice fishing with him, and he had this homemade spud that he would use all the time when we went ice fishing. And he was a welder by trade, so he pretty much made everything that he needed to use. You know, back then he just made it. And instead of running to the local store to buy it. Well, anyway, every time, you know, I could remember back when we would go, everybody would say, hey, where'd you get that at? Could I borrow that, you know, or whatever? And one day I was on a lake fishing with my wife's cousin, and he says, where'd you get that at? I said, well, I made that. He says, yeah, you really ought to try to market those. I said, well, you know, I've heard that a lot of times.
Sure.
And I said, you know what, I'm going to go for it. So being a welder by trade myself, I said, well, we fabbed up a bunch of them, and I started doing some calling, and the first few people weren't interested, but then I finally got in touch with Dunham Sporting Goods, and we set up a meeting, and I met with the buyer, and he absolutely loved them, and he's been putting them in their store since 2010, I believe it was. And we supply 88 of Dunham Sporting Goods stores across the USA. So, and that worked out rather well. You know, and of course, we have them in several different bait shops across Michigan, too.
Sure.
If we can keep them in there, they sell so fast when we get them there.
Well, you know, a good spud is pretty doggone important. Our good friend Brian Brosdahl is very, very adamant about having a good spud, especially when it comes to first ice when testing.
Yeah.
And Rick Webster, Tricky Ricky Lures, there'll be a link on our website to Coda Pro Products, Michigan company. You guys are based out of Midland, correct?
Yeah, Midland, Michigan, yeah.
Excellent. You know, and that's, again, this is what the cool thing about Facebook is, is we find you guys and we can seek you out to bring you to the show here. We appreciate it. Also, real quickly, give me the name of your Facebook page for your ice fishing forum.
Oh, yeah, that's called Shanty Secrets.
Yes.
And I don't remember that. I couldn't really give you the link to it.
That's all right. We'll have that up there. Find our Facebook page, WildMichiganRadio.com. Rick Webster, Tricky Ricky Lures, Coda Pro Products. And thanks again to Al Henderson, world record elk holder with a crossbow. So much fun stuff today. More coming your way. Whole another hour. This is Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network.